We're going to continue our discussion about the Olympics with a different focus now, security. Earlier this month, two men stole a truck and rammed it into a group of police on their morning jog. Days later, bombers targeted a police station, government building, bank, and shops, killing 16 policemen and 16 others. And this week, attackers stabbed civilian guards, killing three of them at a roadside checkpoint. These attacks happen in Xinjiang, a sprawling region of deserts and mountains in western China, where a Muslim separatist group has been having confrontations with the Chinese government. This group makes up a tiny fraction of the 20 million Muslims in China. To find out more about this, we call Drew Gladney, president of the Pacific Basin Institute at Pomona College. He was kind enough to interrupt his vacation to talk with us. Welcome, and thanks for speaking with us.
Nice to talk with you, Michelle.
First, I'm going to admit my ignorance and tell you I did not even know there was a significant Muslim population in China. Could you just tell me more about that?
Well, I think the reason for that is that the Western focus tends to be on Tibet. We all kind of know where Tibet is, what some of the Tibetan issues are. Almost everyone in the world knows who the Dalai Lama is. For the Muslims of China, not only do they live in a very remote area and have a very difficult name to pronounce and are in a region that's difficult to pronounce, their activities often get overshadowed and ignored.
So do I have that right, that there are about 20 million Muslims in China?
Yes.
And is there diversity within that group?
Yes. And it's a very important distinction because the ones that are causing the problems today that we've been seeing are quite different than the majority of the Muslims in China. The largest group in China are known as the Hui, that's spelled H-U-I, and most people just know them as the Chinese-speaking Muslims because they live in every city, they speak Chinese, they've been integrated into Chinese society for 1,200 years, but they're quite distinct from the ones in western China in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, and that's the area where we've been having problems.
Is Islam freely practiced in China? Obviously, this has been a kind of a focus of President Bush's visit. He's made a point of trying to be a voice for religious tolerance in China. Is Islam freely practiced?
Like every religion in China, there's a yes and a no to this, in the sense that there are mosques, people travel on the pilgrimage to Mecca. It's really when Muslims get engaged in political activities that their faith comes under scrutiny by the government.
So I was going to ask you that. What's the source of the conflict then between the people who are engaging in these attacks on sort of government entities and the government? What's the conflict?
The root cause, most people feel, and most Uyghurs tend to say it's more related to sovereignty issues, to claims to land, to greater access to resources. You know, this area, there have been enormous oil deposits that have been discovered. It has a booming economy. And the Uyghurs, the local population for whom the region is named, really do not feel that they are benefiting enough from that development.
Chinese officials, in part, explaining a security presence, which has been significant by all accounts. In part, their explanation is that they have to guard against terrorist attacks, which may be motivated by this group. Is that a fair concern?
Well, I think it is a fair concern now with all of the attacks that have been going on. The area had been quiet and very dormant since the late 1990s. In the late 1990s, we had several quite well-coordinated attacks, but that died down, and we think a large reason is the heavy security crackdown, but also many of the young Uyghurs involved became quite disillusioned. They had hoped that, like the neighboring provinces of the former Soviet Central Asia, they might have an independent East Turkestan or Uyghuristan. And when that didn't happen, many of them really, I think, sort of gave up the dream of that. And so for the last 10 years, there have been very isolated incidents of civil unrest, but there hasn't been any organized militancy that we can see. One important point that I didn't really make very well is that with this large diversity of Muslims in China, very few of them support these terrorist actions. Uyghurs outside of China have condemned it. Many of them want independence or greater autonomy, but most of them oppose violence, oppose terrorism. They think it gives the Uyghur cause a bad name. It gives Islam a bad name.
What about after the Olympics are over and the world's attention moves elsewhere, as it inevitably does? Do you have any sense of what Chinese authorities are likely to do in relation to this group in this region?
The hope is that the Olympics will be successful and that there will be no major disruptions. And then after the Olympics, China can reassess its policies in the area and maybe loosen things up. Some people feel that the crackdown has been so severe that it really is exacerbating some of the tensions. And these are long-term tensions, both ethnic, religious tensions in the region. And so if China could find a way to open up dialogue with some of these groups, both internally and externally, there might be progress. But the Uyghurs are really eager to put their case to the Chinese government, and there have been no discussions between these groups and China. This is very different than what's happened with the Tibetan external organizations, where China is meeting at very high levels in China with these people.
Why do you think that is?
I think that, one, of course, there is no single representative for the Uyghurs like the Dalai Lama. There's no agreed-upon agenda or solution. And I think China wants to avoid giving legitimacy to any one single individual or organization. They also don't want these organizations to unify. So I think there's real complications there. But increasingly, and I think Chinese themselves, are recognizing the need to open up dialogue.
Are there any Muslim Chinese, any Uyghur, participating in the Olympics?
Yes, there are. And this is what's fascinating. It hasn't really been mentioned in the news very much. There are at least three Uyghurs on the men's Olympic boxing team. And they've done very well, I understand.
Drew Gladney is the president of the Pacific Basin Institute at Pomona College. He was kind enough to interrupt his vacation to join us on the phone from Hawaii. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Nice talking with you, Michelle.